said you're coming back again. I know that you will, and all the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises. Sins away, oh God. You give, and you gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did.
Shake hands right now and just greet each other in the name of the Lord. Glad that you're with us today for worship.
Bright morning star, King of all days, reign in our hearts and ride on our praise. You are crowned in majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze, let your kingdom come, let your name be raised, hear the song of the redeemed, be exalted as we sing, hail to the King, hail to the living Word. Sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne. Hail to the living word. Let praise arise. Heaven and earth sing praise to the Lamb. Seated on the throne, power and strength are yours alone. Hail to the King.
Raising up the broken to life. yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down.
Oh, It's been some good worship this morning, hasn't it? Do you love the worship? I sure hope so, because we're going to be doing it for eternity in heaven. And that's what the topic of the message is about today, too. So turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. Now, I'm going to ask for some volunteers a little later here in the service. So I'm going to go ahead and give out some assignments now. I need some volunteers. And I'd like to have the first one to come from the balcony. You're going to look up a verse for me and read it here in a few moments, okay? It's Psalms 34:3. It's only one verse, so if you wait till the last, they get longer. Okay, so do I have a volunteer from the balcony? Let's hear it for the balcony. Stand up so I can see you. Oh, man, you guys think you can hide out up there, don't you? Okay, I'll come up there and pick one out. Psalms 34:3. Volunteer. There we go, got one right there. Okay, now, down here, Psalm 95, 1 through 2. Anyone? Psalms 95, 1 through 2. All right, got Dean right here. Matthew 28, somebody over here said got it. I'll give you that one. Jim, Matthew 28. John 4. John 4, we can go back up to the balcony. Ken Miller. Ken Miller. All right, Ken Miller's just been volunteered by James. Thank you, James. John 4, 21 through 24, and James, if you'll read Romans 12:1. Hey, all right, gotcha. Okay, last one is Revelations 5. Do I have a volunteer? Revelations chapter 5. Not all of it, though. Okay, got you right there. 5, 8 through 14. When we get to that portion, I'll be asking and calling on you to read that verse. Matthew 28. That's a good point. I might not have gave that to you, huh? Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9. Gotcha. All right, gotcha. All right. Man, this has been a great week. And some exciting things are happening. I heard that Kids Fest yesterday was a blast. Hey, of course, the Mountain Grove Panthers won their football game. That's always a good thing, right? And then we got the eclipse coming up tomorrow. God is good. You know, things like that just kind of remind you how He's active in all parts of our lives. So we're celebrating. And guess what today is? Today is Promotion Sunday. It's that day we recognize our kids who are graduating from one class to the next class. And they're going to be celebrating with their breakfast during Sunday school today too. So we are celebrating our kids today. And I congratulate any child that's promoting up one level. And I give heartfelt appreciation for our teachers who invest in the lives of our young children each day, because they are growing the church of tomorrow. And we thank you so much for your work in that area. And I want to say hi to a special guest today. We usually don't throw a spotlight, single anybody out or anything like that during worship, you know, and recognize the visitors, make them stand up or dance or anything like that. But we have a special guest with us today. So Chris, how you doing, buddy? He was on the drums today. Let's give him a hand. Okay. Now, what's special about Chris is he and Randy are an item, okay? And so this is my first opportunity to meet him. And so, pastors, after services today, we're having a special meeting with Chris. Okay, if he can get through you two, then he goes through me. And if he passes that test, then they can pursue the relationship further. So, but until then, but the way he played on the drums today, I'm willing to give him an extra point or two for that. So thank you for serving today with us, Chris. It's great to meet you. And thank you for letting me embarrass you a little bit. Matthew chapter 22. We've begun a series last week called Kiss. It's not about the legendary rock and roll band. It's not about Keep It Short, Stupid, like my wife tells me on every sermon. But it is Keep It Simple, Saints. Keep It Simple, Saints. And we're looking at the life and ministry of the church and how can we stay focused and keep our mind on Christ and the ministry that He's called us to do. We've learned it's about keeping a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We've summarized it in many ways. But as a church, we have chosen these three words: connect, grow, go. And it's our goal to win people to Jesus Christ, to teach them all the truth found in the Scriptures, and then to go win some more for Christ, to grow in relationship to Christ. So as we read our text today, we're reminded of the Great Commandment. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to begin with verse 37 through 40. Matthew 22, beginning verse 37, reads like this. Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this reminder today of your great commandment. Now we are simply called to love you and love each other. And in a world, Father, which is struggling with that message of love in the midst of a message of hate, we pray, Father, that you give us clarity and that you give us power and the capacity to love greatly more people into the kingdom of God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, last week we started on this phrase, connect, grow, go, and I directed you to our website, and I said, if you look at the short version, the short definition there, it says First Baptist Mountain Grove exists to help people connect to Jesus Christ and his church, to grow in our relationship with Christ and with each other, and to go on mission sharing Christ in Mountain Grove and throughout the world. One way that you can do that, I'll just give a quick commercial for the Missouri Missions offering that is in your bulletin. That's our state missions. It's emphasizing on missions that take place in the state of Missouri. It's one opportunity we have to give to support missions. But we're asked to give in so many other ways as well, and one of those is the giving of ourselves. Connect, grow, go, as we are on mission for Christ. So last week, we expanded that and said that if you click on that logo on our website, it'll take you to a further explanation of connect, grow, go, and we expanded that. We introduced the phrase mission-driven church rather than a budget-driven church or a committee-driven church. Now let me clarify here for just a moment about committees, because I heard a rumor that I was cutting all committees. And the nice lady that was asking me about this, she said, "I heard a rumor. Now, it may be true, it may not be true, but I heard you were cutting all committees." And I said, "Absolutely, going to cut every one of them." Kidding. Just kidding. No, we're not cutting committees. But what I want us to do is I want us to look at all ministries that we're doing at the church, and I want us to look at our model and make sure that we're doing them with efficiency and that they are effective, and that we're not doing it at the expense of limiting efficient and effective and relevant ministry. Did you know that there are problems if you are too, let's say, for example, too focused on committees? Now, before I get myself in trouble, let me read what Tom Rainer said. Okay, and then if it upsets you, you can be upset with Tom Rainer. But he points out five problems, for an example, that committees can have. Committees can be great, but there are the potential for these five problems. He writes, "At some point in my ministry, I became allergic to committee meetings." Can I get an amen? Okay. "I realized I was spending a lot of time in those meetings that could be used for productive ministry. To be sure, not all committees are bad, and not all committees are unnecessary. But unfortunately, I have seen too many committees become the tail wagging the dog." Here are five examples of the most prominent problems. One, the committee has forgotten its purpose. I believe every committee should re-examine its purpose. Why do we exist as a committee? Tom writes, "I served as a pastor in a church where the church council had monthly meetings that were very long. I discovered that the stated and founding purpose of this group was to coordinate strategically, get that word out, the ministries of the church." And by the way, that's the definition of our church council, to coordinate strategically the ministries of the church. "But over time, it became nothing more than a calendar committee with people fighting over times and rooms." Secondly, a way a committee can become a problem, some committees meet even if they don't have a reason to meet. "As a consultant in a church, I was asked to meet with different committees, and I met with one committee, and I learned that they had several meetings throughout the consecutive months without no agenda, and nothing was accomplished. I asked the chairman why they had these meetings. His response, because it was on the church calendar." Third, some committees attract control freaks. "These control freaks tend to gravitate toward committees that deal with either money or personnel or both. And if the wrong people control the funds and the personal matters, problems can multiply. Fourth, it's hard to kill a committee." I like his illustration. He says, "It's like trying to kill an elephant with a BB gun." There can be emotional attachment to it. There can be the persuasive statement, well, we've always done it that way. I recently was in a church that had 17 committees, Tom writes. Only three of them were really necessary. And number five, unnecessary committees and committee meetings replace ministry. Every minute spent in a committee meeting is a minute that could be spent doing ministry. Our churches have become notorious for keeping our members too busy to do ministry. And I like that because that was one of the things I was trying to point out in the beginning of this series, is we can become so involved and so busy with meetings and making everybody busy that we're too busy to do ministry. And that's a thing that we need to look out for. He sums it up like this. Church leaders should evaluate ruthlessly all of their committees and ask several questions. One, is this committee necessary? Two, would this committee serve better as a temporary task force? Three, are all the committee meetings necessary? And fourth, what would we do about committees? What would we do about our committees if we started from a blank slate? Good questions to ask. And that's just one example of how we should always be willing to evaluate our ministries and the efficiency of what we do in order that we become more effective and our capacity to expand the kingdom of God become more powerful. That's just one example, committees. Now, let me be clear, though. I'm not changing anything. I'm not cutting all committees. I'm not changing anything in this church without our body understanding it and supporting it. Okay, so take a deep breath. You got very quiet when I started talking about committees. Take a deep breath. We're all okay, right? Okay, we're good. All right. Because I'm not changing anything until I have the support of the entire church. I'm simply challenging our church family to join me in a journey of evaluation, to trust my experience and calling, to trust the giftedness of your pastoral staff and your associates to challenge, to equip, and to lead the saints of Mountain Grove First Baptist Church to a new chapter in her ministry and to reach her full potential as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit to fulfill our calling and our mission. Amen. A phrase that I like reads something like this. We need to be a church that's pastor-led, deacon-served, and congregationally affirmed. And so that's the model that I want to lay out for you today. And I will develop this phrase further as we get into this series, as we especially focus on our leadership model. But today, this series, again, is KISS, Keep It Simple Saints. It's intended to challenge and stimulate a healthy evaluation of our ministry practices and our capacity for power to ensure that we stay ministry-focused and ministry-driven. So, examine any church motto, any mission statement on any church's website, and you better find, in some way or another, a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. In fact, that's how Saddleback Community Church lays it out on their website, if they haven't changed it over the years. But a great commitment to a great command, to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. That's a powerful way of saying that. Every mission, every vision should include those principles. There are hundreds of ways to say it. There's 100 ways to state the purpose for the church as long as they contain those principles. And we're not coming up with something new ourselves. We're just defining with clarity a biblical principle that Jesus Christ himself laid out for the ministry, mission, and model of church ministry. There's many ways it's said. Know, grow, go. Love God, love people. Connect, grow, serve. You could say it 100 different ways. But the main thing is it needs to be a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. So with that in mind, I'm going to demonstrate the 6 purposes of our church listed in our church constitution. This is a copy of our church constitution right here. And within just a few pages of flipping through that, you come up with the purpose and mission of First Baptist Church. And I want you to know that Connect, Grow, Go comes into every one of these. Connects with every one of these. So if you would look at Article 2, everybody pull out the constitution. So what, you don't carry them with you? All right. But if you would pull out a church constitution, you would see that this is our purpose: to worship, and it expands on each one of these, to evangelize, to disciple, to educate, ministry, and missions. Those are 6 principles that really can come underneath the 5 purposes of any church. five biblical purposes, six principles that are stated there. And so I want to take these six principles and show you how they align with our church's stated mission of connect, growing, and going. So today we're going to focus on the first word, connect. Connect. Remember that Mountain Grove First Baptist Church exists to connect individuals with God and a family of believers through worship, prayer, and fellowship. We believe relationships are important. First, your relationship, your personal relationship with God, and then strengthening the relationships that we have within the church, within our families, and within our community. The word connect speaks to these three stated purposes that I'm going to cover today, which are of the six that we have in our church constitution. And these are these three: worship, evangelism, and ministry, which is another word for fellowship. Fellowship means more than potluck, you know, getting together for a potluck. Fellowship is working together and partnering together in ministry. So let's take those three terms out of our stated purpose as we exist currently as a church and see how they tie in with the word connect. The first word there is worship. Now, if you look at our text that we had for today, Matthew 22, and you look at verse 37, it says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's worship. It's worship. Now, this question is coming to Jesus in the context where the Pharisees are trying to trip him up to say, which one of the commandments is the greatest commandment? And they're hoping he'll get one, and they can say, yeah, but what about this commandment? And they're hoping to trick Jesus. Kind of reminds me of that tricks commercial, you know, where the rabbit is always trying to trick the kids out of the tricks, and they say, silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. And you want to say, so many times the Pharisees are doing this, you want to say, silly Pharisees, don't you know who you're dealing with? Don't you know who you're dealing with? You can't trip up Jesus. But that's exactly what they're trying to do here. Jesus was asked by religious leaders which commandment was the most important. Jesus used this opportunity to give the religious leaders and his disciples who are listening in, and his disciples today, you and me who are listening in, it was a teaching opportunity to give us the Cliff Notes summary of what it means and what God's word means. One of these two commandments, he said, on these two commandments, he says, all the laws and prophets hang. This commandment was more than familiar to the Jewish audience because of the Shema, where they would repeat from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5, this very scriptural passage that's tied in here. It's out of verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. They knew. They memorized this passage. They recited it often. So when Jesus speaks it, it's very familiar to their ears, that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. In connecting with God, then, Jesus is pointing out the first and foremost thing is to love God. Love God. I'm telling you, and we've talked about this before in the series, about connecting to God, that the very first relationship that you've got to get right, that's the most important connection you can have in life, is to God. That if you don't start there, nothing else will fall into place. And you can even live a very religious life, but it'll never mean anything if you don't have that relationship with God, that personal relationship. So what Jesus is saying is, love God. Love God with passion. Love God with energy. Love God. Worship Him with all your heart, with all your passion, seeking Him, expressing your worship to Him, living for Him. Love God. Amen, I got back there. All right. I think it was just an A. But they're working on the men part. Amen. All right. Because you see, it's important to note that in this passage on worship, that worship comes before going. That connecting comes before going. And even in our church logo, it says connect, grow, go. If you're not connected, there's no sense in going. And you won't grow, right? So it's a priority thing. And so we didn't really intentionally lay out with that in the beginning, but it's a biblical principle, and it developed that way as God led. Because it tells us, also in Scripture, Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Worship, serve. One leads to the other. So let's hear more on worship from God, because I had some very excited volunteers earlier jumping up to read some passages. So I gave one Matthew 34:3 in the balcony. Matthew 34:3, stand up and read it as loud as you can. 34:3. Yeah. All right. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's why we're gathered here today. It's a call to worship. All right. Then we had, after Psalm 33, we had Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Reminds me of another passage, too. It says, I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. He's saying, sing and shout joyfully. That would really excite Kent when he's leading in worship with, if you're out there singing. Because sometimes at 8 o'clock in the morning, the singing is a little slow. We haven't woke up yet. But we're to wake up and worship him when we gather together. We're to shout with joy unto the Lord. That's passionate worship he's talking about. And notice that it helps if we worship before we got here. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. You ever heard that person that shows up at church and says, you know, I just didn't get anything out of that? That was not fully connected there. Thank you. All right. That was just a jolt of the Holy Spirit. All right. All right. But let's think about that. If I come into his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, if I enter his courts with praise, I'm already worshiping and I already got something out of it. So what we bring to it, the church is not about what can the church give me. I hope they do something on the platform today that speaks to me. No, it's about us bringing it. We're to bring it. We're to bring that praise. We're to bring that worship with us. And so it's really a purpose of our church to help people, help you, help me connect with God. And we do that through authentic worship. We do that through really expressing our praise to God, loving him and praising him. Okay, we got Matthew 28:8-9.
So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran.
Could you imagine? I mean, I've been to Israel a few times. I've been to the empty tomb, and I feel such a sense of worship there, and it's empty. Could you imagine if you ran to the tomb and you saw the resurrected Jesus? Wouldn't you fall to your knees and worship him? I'm telling you, when we encounter God, when we connect with God and we realize who he is and what he's done for us, we can't help but worship. We will worship. John 4:21-24. John 4. The Father is seeking such to worship him. What we want to do as a church is to help you connect with God in a real, authentic experience. True worship in spirit and in truth. It's a very humbling place to be. We have to lay aside everything and just seek his face with passion. Verse 1. Which is your reasonable service. Some translation says, which is your true act of worship. Presenting yourself. You notice a lot of worship here is about giving, not receiving. It's giving. It's presenting ourselves to him. Worship is also outside of this corporate body. Worship is, as the passage was just read, is about being a living sacrifice for him. Living a life for him. Revelation 5:8-14. Amen. Wow. Did you get through 14? Oh, keep going then. Amen. See, no service is over till the amen, right? But I tell you that, I love that too. Do you see the building of worship too? Thousands upon thousands, 10,000s. Have you ever been in a worship service? I felt like I was in one this morning where it was, the worship was louder than it seemed like possible than those gathered. Sometimes I've heard it described this way. It's like the angels jump in, they get a little jealous and they want to worship with us. Okay, it's multiplied. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's great to worship. So worship, we want to help people connect with God in worship. anywhere, anytime, any place, to be able to worship before we get to church, to worship each morning when we wake up and we start our day in God's Word, to worship. I woke up this morning earlier than what I had planned, and I just decided to worship a little bit. I'm singing to myself because I didn't want to disturb Lisa's sleep, and I'm just singing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, thinking and looking forward to worship today. Worship anywhere, anytime, any place. But man, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but to meet and stimulate one another to good deeds. Hebrews 10:25. We are not to neglect this worship, this gathering, as we come together. So worship is one of those key ways to connect. Another word in there is ministry. And worship really leads to ministry. Mountain Grove First Baptist Church helps people connect to Christ and to each other. The great commandment begins with loving God, but then it instructs us to love people. Love God, love people. You see, it's love is the glue that helps us connect, and it holds those connections together. And as noted earlier in the message today, it's a natural progression to move from worship to ministry. What is really awesome here is that Jesus went from loving God to expand the second commandment, love your neighbor. And I'm going to tell you, it is impossible to love God without loving your neighbor. You cannot do one and not the other. Loving God leads us to loving our neighbor. And I'm telling you, in the wake of Charlotte and the increased tensions in our country and all the racial things that are going on, believers ought to especially be aware that all people are loved by God. For God so loved all the world that he gave his son for all people. And he's given each and every one of us the same opportunity to approach his throne of grace, to experience the power of his salvation, and to be forgiven of all our sins because he loves all people. And so in our ministry, we do the same. We love all people. We exist to love God and to love people. Every ministry we do at Mountain Grove First Baptist Church is driven by these two commandments. Love God, love people. How do we love people? How do we love people? Ministry. We minister to each other. And we minister to those inside and outside of the church. The church is to minister to the spiritual, emotional, relational, and physical needs of all people. Sometimes it's in a small group or a Sunday school class. Sometimes it's in a one-on-one relationship where you're discipling another believer. Sometimes it's in giving a free lunch or an article of clothing. Sometimes it's in starting a new relationship with the intentional purpose of building that relationship and discovering where their soul stands with the Lord. Sometimes it's helping someone out by bringing a casserole over after they've been in the hospital. Sometimes it's letting someone know that you're praying for them and you're aware of what's going on in their lives. Sometimes it's helping someone with a utility bill. It's ministering to people spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and physically. We're loving people. In church, we need to be careful never to choke out ministry with too much busyness. Too many meetings or too much time spent in the pew. Too much time spent within the walls of the church. We need to be outside of these walls loving people. One minister put it this way, if we sit in the pew too long, we'll sit sour and soak. We need to get up, get out, and get active. Or as a little song that my grandson used to go around singing, we got to move it, move it. You know, we got to get on the move. All right. Kent, you didn't know I had a special built in there today, did you? Okay. All right, did you notice, though, how energizing this past summer was? Did you notice as we got involved in ministry and we did such things as Jerusalem changers outside the walls of our church, as we did garments of praise, as we fed my sheep, as we did these ministries, as we were involved in even events like yesterday with Kids Fest? Well, anytime we get out there and we engage, isn't that energizing? It's powerful. It's powerful. And so as we move in action, we worship God. We're moved to ministry. We minister. We're empowered by that ministry. It creates quite an energy. I'm telling you, I saw the Holy Spirit all over you guys this summer, and it was exciting. Let's keep that momentum going by doing whatever it takes to love people. And then the third part of this word connect is we've got worship, we've got ministry, and we've got evangelism. That's just kind of the scary one. But if you turn to Matthew 28, I'll give you an alert. It's the same text we looked at last week, but let's just remind ourselves about evangelism. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Don't you love that sound? Refreshing rain brings new life to our grass and anything that's planted out there. I know our farmers love the sound of rain. But I'm telling you also, the raining of the Holy Spirit when he's falling on a place brings new energy too. So anyway, that's another sermon. But evangelism. We cannot connect to people with God without a heart for evangelism. In order to connect people, the connection has to take place first. Our primary goal there is to reach one more for Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded that we go. This text ties our emphasis on discipleship. But you must have converts in order to disciple them. And so we've got to begin with evangelism. So Mountain Grove First Baptist Church exists to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That at the name of Jesus, you can be saved. That at the name of Jesus, your marriage can be transformed. That at the name of Jesus, healing can take place. That at the name of Jesus, family relationships can be strengthened. At the name of Jesus, a church will increase in her power and her unity to be on mission for God. We have the gospel to preach. When we look across our services on any given Sunday, it should be rare to see that there isn't somebody new because somebody built an intentional relationship and brought one more. Every Monday, every believer should pray, Lord, give me at least one opportunity this week. Give me one opportunity this week to share my faith with someone. Put someone in my path and then give me the courage to share my faith in that moment. Lord, give me someone to build a relationship with. Lord, give me someone to share my faith with, because you are the evangelist. And we're all called to share our faith. You see, someone shared Christ with you. They were faithful to the command to go and to preach. It is every believer's duty to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have hired guns to do it for you. You don't have an evangelism team or evangelism committee to do it for you. You are called to evangelize. Now, we don't all do it the same way. You're not all going to share your faith like I share my faith, or like Pastor Jim or Kent shares his faith, or like any one of our deacons share their faith, or like your husband shares his faith or your wife shares her faith. We don't all do it the same. We have the same content, the good news of Jesus Christ, but the way that we share that can be different. And so many times I think we talk ourselves out of it because we can't not do it like someone else does it. But we're all called to do it. And it's more than a duty. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And so we have the good news to share, that Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he will forgive you and he will set you free. He will give you new life, that at the name of Jesus, you can be saved. Jesus is coming again soon. We can all share that good news. So let me ask you a question this morning. What if you discovered the cure for cancer? What would you do with that? If you discovered the cure for cancer, what would you do? You know, I hate cancer. I hate what it did in my life. I still suffer some of the consequences of cancer. I still have limitations related to the cancer I had. I hate that cancer has taken people that I love from me. I hate what cancer can do to a family. I hate seeing others suffer from cancer. You better believe that if I found the discovery for cancer, I would be all over the place telling others about it. You know what? I hate sin. I hate what sin has done in my life. I'm still paying some consequences for sin that I've done in my life. Because even though you may be forgiven, sometimes you still face your consequences. I hate what sin has done to people that I love. I hate seeing people die in sin. But I have experienced the loving forgiveness of God. I have been forgiven of my sins and have been cured of sin. I have been made new and made whole and given a new opportunity to walk in the newness of life. You better believe I'm going to share that good news with others. Because sin does not have to be terminal. Hey, world, Jesus loves you. And he will forgive you of your sins. And he will give you a new life. Now, that's how simple evangelism can be. It's just sharing what you've already discovered, what you have found to be true in your own life. And it's telling one other person about that. If that seems overwhelming to you, then look for opportunities to grow and pray that prayer I talked about earlier. Lord, give me somebody this week. Give me an opportunity to share my faith this week so that I might reach one more for the Lord. If you're intimidated by the task of evangelism, we have several tools that can help you. Come talk with me or any one of the pastors, and we'll talk to you about how to share your faith. You can go to Billy Graham or Greg Laurie and learn and take even some courses on evangelism right there online. But share your faith. So let me sum it up. Connect through three purposes stated in our church constitution: worship, ministry, and evangelism. My question is this: have you connected? Have you connected to Jesus? In just a few moments, we're going to be baptizing the gentleman who made that connection. Through garments of praise, he was here, and one of our counselors prayed with him, and he received Christ. And I know he's received Christ because I've seen a transformation in his life. And so we're going to celebrate that with baptism today. Have you connected with Jesus? Do you connect in worship? I'm talking about private time at home. Do you have a time that you connect with Jesus in worship? And then do you not forsake the assembling of yourselves together? Are you here in worship today? Say amen if you are. Okay, if you're not, no, I'm just kidding. But you're here today. But sometimes we can get out of the habit of connecting with worship. Are you connecting in a small group or Sunday school class? And by the way, that works both ways. I believe we need the larger assembly worshiping together, but I also believe we need to get in those small groups and study the Word of God together. And you shouldn't have one without the other. So if you go to Sunday school but you don't go to church, guess what? Come to church, and vice versa. And if you can't get to Sunday school, there's other ministries we have here too in small groups. Look for small group opportunities, like the Financial Peace that's coming up, a women's Bible study that meets during the week, during the day, and we have a women's Bible study that meets on Wednesday night. There's all kinds of opportunities. I believe that you should be connecting through one worship experience, at least one worship experience a week, one small group a week, and you should be involved in at least one ministry of our church to be connected. Are you involved in at least one ministry? And then last, are you active in praying for opportunities to share your faith? As we stand together today, we're coming to that time of invitation. And Tom, you can go ahead and go prepare for your baptism. I think you may have already. Yeah, okay. As we move into this time, here's what the invitation is open to. An invitation is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to take the next step. It's an opportunity for you to make a change right now. And what change is he calling you to make? Maybe you're here today, and listen to me only. This is the most important point I can make all day today. But maybe you're here today, and you've not connected with Christ. You've not received his gift to you. Jesus Christ loves you so much that he died on the cross for your sins. He's given you an opportunity to conquer and overcome in your life when you call upon his name. Are you connected? Are you more than a conqueror in Jesus? If not, today is the day to say yes to him. Today is the day to begin a new life. Will you do that today? Don't leave here today not knowing that. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I made that connection, but my connections are weak. I'm connected with loving God, I get that part, but I'm having a little difficult with my other relationships, and I need some help. Will you give it to the Lord today? It's simple. Jesus said to love God. He said to love your neighbor. He said to love your enemy. That doesn't leave much wiggle room, so that's the way it's intended to be. And if you need help in any of those relationships, give it to him now. And are you keeping it to yourself? You know the most powerful truth there is to know when you know God, that he heals and he forgives a sin. Will you give it to him today? Maybe this is the day that he changes your future. Maybe today is the day he changes the relationship in your life. Maybe today is the day that you get that you're an evangelist, that you can share your faith. Maybe today. Let's sing.
Come just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see,
come receive.
Strange sometimes, but I get excited reading through a church constitution. I get excited looking at the model of this church. And I know that, you know, we're talking about how we need to revise this and do that and streamline some things, but what you're looking at is the history of a church. You're looking at a legacy of people who have brought the church to this point, one generation after next. And so I just want to say a word of encouragement to the younger generation now, the generation younger than me. I'm getting old enough that where I got more years behind me than ahead of me, and it makes you stop and think about things. But I'm excited about the new generation. And I'm excited about the legacy that we have to leave to that generation. I'm excited for the opportunity that he's given us as a church. And so God is speaking to me about our future. So as we continue in this series, I want you to think about, how does this apply to me? Who's in charge of the church? God. But who does he depend upon to carry out the mission and the ministry of the church? You and me. Not a select few, not the pastors, not the deacons, and not the committees. They serve to enable the congregation to minister more powerfully. So the ministry is in all of our hands. And so I'm excited to see what God does with us as we pursue his ministry. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this time in the Lord. I thank you, Father, for those who have come to pray today, Father, and that you just minister in their lives, Lord. I thank you for the ministry that you're doing in the hearts and minds of people today. Father, I thank you for the ministry to our kids. And we look forward, Father, to every opportunity you give us this week to share our faith. I pray in Jesus' name.